Blog Talk Radio.
Your host for the Global Product Management Talk. Welcome to today's episode. It is June 24th, Monday. I am broadcasting out of an artist loft in the Bushwick neighborhood of Brooklyn, New York City. So I don't have my trusty engineer to help me, so bear with me if you hear echoes or trucks going by. It's because it is a cavernous place that I'm in. So this is Cindy F. Solomon. This is the Global Product Management Talk. You can find us on the web at blogtalkradio.com/PRODMGMTTALK. That is our Twitter handle at PRODMGMTTALK. And if you're tweeting, use the hashtag #PRODMGMTTALK. On the Global Product Management Talk weekly, we talk with experts, practitioners, and passionate product people who care about product excellence, from methodology to innovation to best practices to lean, UX, agile, you name it, software, hardware, cross-industry, cross-platform, cross-discipline. We bring together everyone who cares about talking about what it takes to produce excellent products for all the stakeholders involved. We are brought to you this week by the AIPMM, that is the Association of International Product Marketing and Management. They are the largest professional organization forwarding product management and marketing professionals and the profession with the forthcoming ProdBot, the Product Management Body of Knowledge. You can find them on the web at AIPMM.com. Check out their webinar series that takes place on Fridays and join to get discounts, educational opportunities, and credentials. They are the only credentialing body organization worldwide for the Certified Product Manager, Certified Product Marketing Manager, Agile Certified Manager, the Certified Innovation Leader, and several others. Check them out, AIPMM.com. Thank you to our sponsor, Sprintly. Don't ask how it's going. Watch how it's going. They're on the web at sprint.ly. Follow them on Twitter at Sprintly. And follow Joe Stump, the CEO, who writes excellent things about project managing your software development at Joe Stump. Thank you to BrainMates, product management professionals, consultants, education, and training at BrainMates.com, an Australian company. Check out the excellent Brain Rants and the upcoming Product Camp Melbourne coming up on July 20th, I believe, in Australia. Definitely go to that. Thank you to also our sponsor at Sponsumo, making managing conferences, events, and speakers easy to handle, sponsumo.com. And thank you to Startup Product. Register today for the Startup Product Summit. Go to startupproduct.com. It's happening October 11th in San Francisco. It is SF2, the second one. There is a lineup of 20 speakers talking about learning from the past to invent the future in product excellence. Register today for a super early bird discount. It is the last day to get $400 off, and I believe the prices go up tomorrow. And if you're planning to fly into San Francisco, the summit is followed by Product Camp San Francisco. You can find out more information at sfproducttalks.com. By the way, I'm Cindy F. Solomon, your host. Delighted to be with you today. I've been on a cross-country trip driving and visiting and vacationing. And I have hit San Francisco. I came from San Francisco. I've hit New York, a little bit of Wired here. So I'm delighted to be joined today by Alicia Dickton. She is a mobile product manager, and she's involved with some pretty exciting things having to do with Google Glasses, which she'll tell us about. Alicia, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me okay?
Hey, I can hear you great. So, Alicia,
we're working through the new technology.
Yeah, so what's great about Blog Talk Radio, and by the way, there's over 100 archives of past episodes where we've talked about managing product through all the seven phases of the life cycle at blogtalkradio.com/PRODMGMTTALK. And it's great to have you on. Alicia has been a great participant, a great tweeter, and we've been talking about having her on for a while. So I'm delighted to have you. And I apologize, Alicia, I don't have your bio in front of me, because I am broadcasting, hopefully we're recording and broadcasting live. So can you give us an idea of your background? And please do not be humble. It is something about product managers that we don't like to talk about ourselves. We like to talk about, you know, our products and our projects. But it's important for our listeners. And by the way, we had 36,000 listeners over the past couple of weeks. So it's really important for them to know, you know, there's women who are doing product management. We're seasoned professionals and all of the different types of people who are passionate about product in this profession. So take it away, please, Alicia.
Okay, so you just reminded me of a book that I read a couple of months ago, Brag, The Art of Tooting Your Own Horn. So I'm going to try and remember what I read in that book and give it a shot. But, you know, not only am I a humble product manager, I'm a big-time introvert. So talking about myself like that is not part of what comes naturally. But just a little bit about my background. As Cindy said, I work as a mobile product manager. I do right now, as my full-time job, I make mobile apps for academic journals, and that is both on iOS and Android. I've been doing this a little bit more than a year. Before that, I spent five years, at a subsidiary of the United Parcel Service that was actually then spun off, and that was called Roadnet Technologies. And there I worked on mobile applications that was a sort of, you know what, I'm talking about my products and not myself, Cindy. See, I caught myself right in the middle of that one.
Yeah.
Okay, so about me. I've been doing product management for about 6 years. Before that, I did brand management and program management. I've worked with some pretty good companies in the Fortune 500, including United Parcel Service, Dell, Fruit of the Loom, and Toys R Us. My training was actually originally in fashion merchandising. When I was growing up, I wanted to be a fashion designer. But somehow I got moved over from apparel to technology, and I've been doing technology for over 10 years, and I really love it. So what I'm here today to do is to hopefully share some of the things I've learned along the way as being a product manager with people who are interested in getting into the field, because it's definitely growing. So I want to share my knowledge with you guys.
Awesome. Thank you, Alicia. I want to underline a couple of really great things that you said. First of all, it may be a personality trait of people who are drawn to product management might be introverts, and this is one of the reasons for the Global Product Management Talk is to showcase this profession and to be counterintuitive of what the, you know, go out of the comfort zone for product managers to talk about themselves, to raise the visibility of product management, because it's so important within organizations. And a lot of what we're doing within organizations is educating people about the product. And so this show is to educate the public about what product managers do, amongst other things, as well as talk about startups and innovation and methodology. And then the other thing that's very cool is you have been with consumer-facing companies, And you came into technology from fashion. That is so rare, and that is quite awesome. But it shows that there are, I would assume, there's certain skills that you were able to apply that you got outside of technology.
Yes, so my first few jobs out of undergrad, I worked for Kids R Us, which is no longer in existence, but that was the children's clothing part of Toys R Us, and I was a technical designer there. And then I went and got my MBA and went into more of a classical packaged goods role, but it was still in apparel with Fruit of the Loom. And Fruit of the Loom, unfortunately, was going through some turbulence back then. I left there because of some bankruptcy issues, which if I had stayed, hindsight is 20/20. Warren Buffett and Berkshire Hathaway bought the company, and now they're doing great. But I left there to go to Dell because that was right before the 2000K tech boom came into effect. And I was on the Internet back then, being a real geek. And I was working on a lot of websites myself and got the opportunity to go to Dell and work on a website there. And that's how I actually got into product management, that while I was doing brand management for the website there, I got moved into a role that was more program management. And from there, I got moved into a role that was pure product management with the title of business development manager. But what I was doing was actually marketing strategy, product strategy, features and functionality, trying to find what the new product should be for Dell's consumer business. So that's how I got into it.
And I think, you know, your story is, I've heard often that product management or the role of product management is highly volatile. Within one organization, you may be moved around to different departments. The titles may change. If you excel at forwarding the project or the program or the product, you'll get moved into other departments. Even if within software, I mean, it sounds like you were dealing with software even at companies whose you weren't necessarily launching software products, but were using the software internally.
Yes, we were trying to get e-commerce off the ground back then. So, exactly. And then one other thing that I wanted to point out from what you just said is I've had a lot of people approach me at product camps or meetups and ask, well, how did you get into product management? I don't have any training. I don't know. How can I do this? My story is typical, I believe, of just about everybody I've ever met who is a product manager. There's no one here, you got to go to this school or do this program to become a product manager. If you desire to become a product manager, then all you do is work towards that goal and you will achieve it.
Great. Oh, and let's give some context, too. Where are you located, and so what part of the United States? Because it might be different in different communities, but I think it's true that if you want to become a product manager, you have to start doing product management. Nobody's going to open a door for you or hand it to you necessarily.
Right. So I am speaking from you today from Hunt Valley, Maryland, which is outside of Baltimore. I actually kind of consider myself like a hybrid between the Baltimore and D.C. tech areas. I tend to tweet a lot about D.C. tech because I go to a lot of events in D.C. I went to undergrad in D.C., so that's where that comes from.
And you've also been involved with the product camp.
Oh, yes. How could I forget? I have to give a shout-out to my teammates with Product Camp DC, so our founder, Shardul Mehta, and also Pranav Desai, who helped run our last product camp, and also Mina Rath and Pradeep Sempath. Those are my partners in crime. We are the core team who puts together Product Camp DC, which we have now had, I believe, our fourth event just this past spring. And, of course, like most product camps, we're a community of volunteer-based, participant-based. We do the unconference thing where we come in one day and the people who are running the conference are the same people who are sitting in the audience. Everybody is a part of making product camp happen.
Yes, and it's done in a very agile manner and with people voting on what they want to present and the two-foot rule that if what is happening in the room is not relevant, then take your
you
2 feet
and
move
out
to another room, or stand
yes
up and you find a space and start presenting what you are interested in talking about. So that is awesome. Product camps are awesome. And thanks for mentioning Shardul Mehta. He is scheduled to be on the broadcast in a couple of weeks. And also, he's working on the product canvas for product managers, which is very exciting. And I can't wait to have him share that with us and teach about how to use it and how to apply it to product management. So
I'm definitely
going
to tune in for that one.
Yeah, and you reminded me to give a shout-out to our listeners who are in the San Francisco Bay Area from Startup Product Talks Meetup, and to our listeners in the Boston Innovation District and area, Startup Product Talks Boston, where I'm on my way to meet people in the next couple of weeks.
You really get around, Cindy. You've been doing a lot of traveling.
Right. So it's all been an experiment. Can we use all of the tools that are available to create community and to share knowledge? So very exciting. So did we cover, I know we listed some of our, a bunch of questions, which I'm not viewing. So what was our Q1?
So our Q1 was, how did you become a product manager? And I know that you are in transit and don't have all of your typical components with you. So I actually tweeted out all the questions for anyone who is listening along with us. My username on Twitter is SpecialLI1972. So special, then LI1972. So our second question was actually, what advice do you have for someone who is not working in product management but wants to get into a product management role? So we touched on that one just a little bit, but I want to expand on it just a little bit more, in that we were talking about how product management has started to grow our own kind of community, and that's something that I think is very important for someone who wants to get into product management, is to tap into that community. I think the majority of product management jobs are probably placed through networking, not through any kind of job board, because product managers are so important in an organization. People want to hire someone who is highly recommended to them. They're not willing to really take a gamble on that. So in order to really get tied into the network, you got to go to product camp. You got to go to the meetups. You got to follow the top people. Like, of course, if you're listening to Product Management Talk, you're following Cindy Solomon. Follow those people on Twitter. And then the other thing that is more job related is to get the experience before you go apply for the job. So that means when you're at your current role, whatever you're doing, whether you're working in marketing communications or engineering or sales engineering, any of those roles that typically transfer into product management, talk to the product manager there and ask them if you can spend a couple hours a week shadowing them, helping them out, so that you can get some results that you can talk about in order to then go on an interview and say, I haven't officially had a product manager title, but I've done these things, and I'm ready to step up to the role.
That's right. I also suggest to people to find a mentor. Find someone that you respect, that it appears to you that they're doing what you want to be doing, and see if you can meet with them on a regular basis. Manage up, manage that relationship. Tell people how they can help you, because people want to help, especially people who are drawn to be product managers. These are very resourceful people, and these are people who are looking cross-functionally and trying to understand and empathize with all of the different roles, the teams, understanding the customer, and understanding all of the different people involved in putting that product together and getting it out the door. And I also suggest to speak with people who aren't product managers, such as the engineers or the producers or the customer service tech support. Those are the people that know an awful lot about the product, and they're on the front lines. They're hearing from the customers, and they'll tell you what they want from a product manager to give you yet another perspective. And then the other thing is, blog about your experience. When you go and meet with these people, blog out what you're learning.
Most definitely. That reminds me of the fact that you mentioned mentors. So Rich Mironov and Steve Johnson are two guys who I really look up to a lot, and I call them my mentors, but they are more so in an informal sense in that I don't meet with them regularly, like Cindy just said, because they're very busy guys. Just about everybody in product management wants to hit them up, so I respect their time and don't bother them unless there's something I really need. But Rich did say to me at the last product camp, Alicia, why aren't you blogging? And because of that, I did launch my own blog a couple months ago, and that's justonemorething.com. So I'm starting to get into the rhythm of that. There's not a lot of content there yet, but I am following through on what he told me to do.
Excellent. And blogging is not something easy. I'm not a natural blogger. I've written for so many years from, you know, from a corporate point of view, which is not what the tone of voice is for blogging at all. So it is definitely something that you have to develop a muscle for and to practice. And it's like anything else, especially in the startup world, you know, launch. Just blog, fail, blog some more. Get feedback, blog some more.
Exactly.
Don't wait to get it perfect, because it's not about perfection. It's about progress.
And I read something on one article about blogging that said, write even though you think you don't have anything to write, because that's how you get your ideas to keep flowing. And you definitely want to make sure that you're keeping content current on your site, that you're posting on a regular basis, or else you'll lose your audience. So
right. And you know, if you learn how to do product management, because you'll have to find avenues to get your blog out there, to tweet it out, to put it on Facebook, or use all the social media channels and ask people for feedback. And that's how you develop your starting to engage with other people and deepen that engagement. And that's really this global product management talk that got over 35,000 listens last week. It's insane. We started as a Twitter chat, and it was purely for this reason. I wanted to understand who was out there in the world doing product management, and how is it the same or different across industries and across borders. It's been a fantastic ride, and it continues. Speaking of Rich Mironov, and so two sidebars, but one is he is a speaker at the Startup Product Summit, SF2, October 11th, in San Francisco. Go to startupproduct.com to register today for a $400 discount. And also, it reminds me of, you have a unicorn story, and Rich Mironov was on the show a couple months ago, and he talked about the unicorn story, and it's relevant because when you look at job descriptions, especially in Silicon Valley, they're not looking for human beings. They're looking for unicorns who not only can code, but they can do growth hacking, data analysis. They can be everything wrapped up under the title of product management, if they even call it that.
Yes, they ask for people who pretty much are just one level down from walking on water, and there's nobody out there who can meet all those things. Really, there isn't. And that's what the joke was about between Rich and myself. He did a blog post and an article about the fact that these job requisitions are so unrealistic that they're looking for a creature that's so mythical that it's like they're looking for a unicorn. So I responded to Rich and said, hey, well, I actually meet a lot of these qualifications. I'm almost a unicorn, so I just started calling myself the unicorn, and Rich loved that and kind of bought into it. So we've got this ongoing inside joke between the two of us that Alicia's a unicorn, but being the overly humble product manager that I am, it's kind of more of a joke than anything I really feel, because like we already said, talking about myself and bragging is not my first thing, so...
But
that's Rich's way of pushing me.
And that is something that I tell people who are going on interviews or trying to break in or get their next position. That if you read those job descriptions, they're written by HR people who haven't done the job, or they're taken from ideal written about what a product manager should do, or they're written by someone trying to fill a position that hasn't yet existed. So what you should do is look at those, try and match your skill set to what they're looking for, but then when you go in for the interview, educate them on what you're going to bring, the contribution you're going to make, based on what they really need, not based on some document that was generally written for not a real position. Because once
right.
you get the position, nobody is looking at that job description and saying, hey,
that
you're doing this,
absolutely right.
They have no idea what you should be doing. It's up to you to be the leader to say, this is what the product needs. This is what we need to do, and to bring everyone to the table together to collaborate on what the best action is and to prove what features, what should be next based on data that you've gathered. And it's very important to gain the respect of everyone in the organization so they'll listen to you. And so you won't be blamed. You won't be
right.
What's it called, the hitting boy, the
whipping boy.
That term. Whipping boy.
So you just hit on a topic that wasn't part of our question list, but something that I kind of want to go into a little bit, is the idea of going into a product management role when one never existed before. I'm actually currently in that situation here. It's something that I felt comfortable enough doing because I felt that I had enough of a background in product management and also enough of a support network and enough resources to do it. It's not something that I would recommend to someone who's just getting into product management. If you're just getting into product management, you really want to go into a role that has already been established so that there's things that you can pick up and emulate and continue from there. Otherwise, you might be learning things the wrong way. That's
yeah.
Just a little side
In an ideal world, or if you're a maverick, you get to set things up right. But definitely have a support network of people that you can ask questions and really test things out with. So
definitely,
if
you are that maverick, then just make sure you get to make all the decisions and that you're not fighting an uphill battle where people say, well, this is the way we've always done things, and they're not ready for change. So,
right,
one or the other.
Right. So, two things, Alicia. How are we doing on time, and what questions haven't we covered?
Oh, we've only gotten through the first two, but we're having such a great chat here. It is, according to my clock, 1:29.
Okay, so we're hitting the halfway mark. You are listening
yes.
to the Global Product Management Talk. This is Cindy F. Solomon, your host. I have on the line Alicia Dixon, who is a mobile product manager from the D.C. area, and we're talking about forwarding your career in product management and resources and some passions that Alicia is interested in. I want to make sure that we get to your involvement with Google Glasses. I was looking at your Indiegogo, and I want to hear more about that.
Okay. Do you want to talk about that now, or should we go?
Go for it.
Okay. Well, that one is actually kind of an interesting story in that I believe a lot of people were aware of the fact that Google did the Twitter campaign and also on Google+, the If I Had Glass contest. And I tend to have a pretty sarcastic and snarky sense of humor, so I entered the contest not at all expecting to win. I sent a tweet that said, if I had glass, I would simply make everyone else who doesn't have it jealous. Enough said. Didn't think anything else of it. I really didn't think anything would happen from this. Lo and behold, I get the tweet from Project Glass a couple of weeks later saying that I had been one of 8,000 people selected to be part of the Google Glass Explorer program. And I got the message, and I was like, oh, wow. I really wasn't expecting this. So I talked to some people.
How many slots were available?
I think they said there were over 1 million entries. I don't know the exact number, but only 8,000. And I know that there are even fewer than 8,000 actually participating because a lot of people have declined participation either for financial reasons or whatever. They could not participate. And Google is not transferring those invitations to another person. So if you decline your invitation, then that just goes away. So when I found out that...
Well, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I was actually really thinking of not participating because I didn't have a plan and what am I going to do with this thing all thought out. But when I found out how many people were actually picked and how many people were not participating, I said, okay, I work in the tech world. I know what mobile products need to be. I need to do this because I know that I can make a contribution and do something that's worthwhile. So I decided to start putting together some ideas and to go ahead and do the program, the Glass Explorer program, but I thought I had more time. Just last Friday, I got the direct message from Project Glass saying that my glass is ready for pickup and I have 14 days to pay for them and go to New York or LA or San Francisco to pick them up. Most likely I'll go to New York because it's closest for me. I thought I would have more time to kind of plan out my project, to create my Indiegogo campaign, to really get the word out of what I was doing, but Google had other thoughts. So over the weekend, I put together the campaign that you saw, Cindy, and I'm still working on fleshing out my idea. I do have an idea for a program that would run on Glass that it's a personal assistant. And what that's coming from is the fact that as a product manager, I have traveled a lot. I think I had elite status on like 4 or 5 different hotel chains. And whenever I got to a new city, I always found myself kind of stressed and harried in that I needed to pick up my car, get directions where I was going, get my documents for whatever meeting I was having, all that information together and organize it. And I was flipping between apps and trying to find my directions because I didn't know where I was, and it's all stressful. So the idea that I have is for an application that's going to help a traveling professional to stay organized by saying, this is where you need to go, this is who you're going to meet with, here are all the documents that you need for your meeting, and when you're finished with that meeting, here's the next one. That's my concept for now. I'm still need to, of course, do a lot of design work and more thinking through that, but that's what I'm working on right now.
Excellent. So, Alicia, where can people go? Will you give the URL and the details where people can contribute to your effort so you can get those Google Glasses fitted and get your project underway?
So I am doing my campaign on Indiegogo, and the name of my campaign is Just One Blurred with Glass. The reason why I picked that is to go with the fact that I am I have my website, which is justonemorething.com, and I'm looking to do blog posts and some webcasts and some interesting things with the glass once I get them, as well as the fact that as an African-American female working in tech, I'm definitely a very nerdy person. So if you're not familiar with the term blurred, it simply means black nerd. And that's just a term that we use to kind of find each other because sometimes you go into a tech event and we're really far, few and far between. So if you haven't heard of blurred before, that's what that means.
Thank you. And I noticed that you were recently a blurredette of the month.
Yes, on my my very good friend Kat Calvin has a company called Blurredology, which is all about promoting African Americans and other minorities in the science, technology, and math fields to try and really help to lay a foundation by building a community. And she does a highlight of a different person every month, a profile, and she asked me to be the Blurred of the Month for the month of June. So I do have a profile there, which was another thing that I had to do talking about myself, which was, this is becoming a pattern. I'm being pushed outside of my comfort zone, Cindy.
So you're on the product leader track here. Because it's not that product managers don't like standing up in front of people because we're constantly communicating and presenting and using visuals and getting up in front of people. But, you know, talking about ourselves, promoting ourselves is just not where our focus is. So it's great. I appreciate it.
Exactly. I actually wrote that exact thing in an email to some of my sorority sisters this morning. I said, it's not like me to reach out and ask for help, but because I'm used to promoting other things. I'm not used to promoting myself, but I need help this time. So a shout-out to Sigma Gamma Rho Sorority Incorporated, just a little sidebar there. But I'm trying to get comfortable with asking for help, which is actually something I'm comfortable for doing as a product manager with my product, which is one of the tips that goes under one of the questions we haven't gotten to yet is, what tips do you have for new product managers to help them do their jobs effectively? One of the first things I had on there was ask for help. You're responsible, but you don't have to do everything yourself. So if it's not for me, I have no problem asking for help. But for yourself, it's a little harder.
It's interesting. Right. You're willing to do anything it takes to forward your product and to forward the goals to achieve what your product needs. And
exactly.
It's not personal. And somehow, and I always wonder, is this a female gender, you know, is this a gender issue that it's females, we think, you know, professionally we should know everything, or we shouldn't, if we ask for help, it's showing a weakness, but yet we admire, you know, men in those positions who ask for help. We don't see
exactly.
it as a form of weakness. We rather see it as a form of strength. Wow, how secure he is that he can listen to feedback and invite people to contribute. So.
And it's definitely a different way of thinking for females, in that when you to ask for feedback is to solicit ways to improve yourself. But as females, when we hear feedback, we automatically get insecure and think they're going to tear me down, or I'm going to take that personally as something that's wrong with me, because we want to be people pleasers and we want to be perfect. So we have to change our thinking and realize they're just telling me what I can do to make things better.
Right. So a couple of years ago when I first started this talk with Adrian Tan of BrainMates, also a female product manager and head of a consultancy, we used to discuss these kinds of issues. And, you know, it does disturb me that in as many years that I've been in technical professional positions, there are not more women leaders. It's just surprising. So yay, we're doing the work, yay.
So real quick, let me touch on what the other tips were that I had noted down some notes for myself. One of the things that I really have observed when people move into a product management role is that they're told you have to make all your decisions with data. And for someone who hasn't done the role before, they might be a little bit intimidated by that. So my advice there is to just take a few simple metrics to start, maybe just 4 or 5, and some examples of those are things like the attach rate. So when I was doing consumer services with Dell, every time we sold a computer, we looked to see, did we sell services with that? And that was what we called the attach rate. So that was an example of a metric. When I was with Through the Loom, we used shipments. How many dozens of the white underwear did we ship the last week? And now I look at number of downloads, number of user sessions. So when you just hear metrics, it's kind of a little bit daunting if you haven't worked with metrics in the past. But basically it means picking something that you will use to consistently measure to see, is the business growing? How are we performing? Are we doing things the right way? The next thing that I had as a tip was to use 5 whys. And that is meaning that when you go to talk to someone and you're trying to learn what their pain point is in order to develop something to put into your product to solve that pain point, make sure you listen more than you talk and you ask 5 whys. If you haven't asked why 5 times, you probably haven't gotten deep enough into the problem. So that's a simple way that you can do your interviewing and your analysis later is what was the real core of the problem by what was the thing that they mentioned the 5th time you asked why. And then the last thing I had, this kind of ties back to everything that we've talked about already, Cindy, and that is invest in yourself. And by that, I mean take the time to grow yourself as a product manager. If you don't have training dollars, spend that Saturday at product camp and you're going to learn a lot. If you don't have time if you don't have the resources to go to a full conference, then participate in these weekly blog talk radio chats that Cindy hosts. By really learning more about product management, you're going to be able to grow yourself and build your confidence in a way that's going to make you more comfortable in the role and ultimately improve the performance of your product, which hopefully will lead to your promotion. So those were the tips that I had there, Cindy.
Excellent. And so I collect tweets and content from every product camp. So I've archived for over a year. If people wanted more information, they could go to storify.com, storify.com/PRODMGMTTALK, and you can look up, I think there's 100 stories there, and it's the Twitter conversations of not only who attended those events, but they're sharing resources and URLs and the slideshare presentations. What I love about Twitter is you could click on a Twitter handle and engage with that person and ask them, hey, I saw that you gave this presentation at Product Camp 2 years ago. Can I ask you about it? Or I really, you know, you can engage and make that professional connection. And then
yes, and every time I've done anything like that, reaching out to a blindly to a product manager that I did not know already, I always received a warm welcome. We are a very welcoming, engaging group of people, even though we might not brag about ourselves.
Right. Well, yeah, and I find that's true. People who are passionate and they're involved in forwarding. Not only, you know, excellence, but knowledge, they want to share it, and they're delighted when someone's interested and wants to continue the conversation. And it is difficult to continue the forums, continue the community discussions over time, but I find that they will ebb and flow based on what the specific topic is. And, you know, and certainly when there's a pain point. And also, a lot of the information, although it's specific, you know, it's relevant when you're involved in a specific product, but a lot of the information that people share, it can be generalized. I mean, people have been blogging now for 4 or 5 years, and the original things that the product managers, you know, Rich Marinoff, and I have a list of over 200 blogs. A lot of that information is relevant to kind of a foundation you need for being oriented, for understanding the perspective of a product manager.
Yes, and you can learn through other people's mistakes that way as well, which was actually the next question I had on there, which was, what was your biggest mistake as a product manager? Now, I know I have a lot of other mistakes besides the one I'm going to tell you about, but as a product manager, you're going to be making mistakes every day, so you got to let it kind of roll off and keep moving. But the one that was the hardest one for me was a few years ago, when we were looking to do a next release of a software product at Roadnet, and we had a series of several meetings with our executive team, and myself and my co-product manager who worked on a related product had gone into the series of meetings, I think it was 4 or 5 meetings, with presentation after presentation, and what we thought, making a business case for why we needed to do these changes that we were requesting. And finally, one of the executives, after sitting through all these long, tedious meetings, pulled us aside and said, "We don't know what you want." So the mistake that we made was we didn't ask. We didn't make our ask what we wanted clear enough. We thought it was so obvious that we were pounding them with data and with examples and with stories of this is so important that they didn't understand that we were saying we need to start this project. And it's a really simple story, but it was a learning lesson for me that you sometimes as a product manager you know things forward and backward and so deeply that when you talk to other people you forget to boil it down and make it simple. So that was a mistake that I learned a lot from.
That's great. Oh, gosh. I think, you know, also product managers need to have a thick skin and have to be willing to feel like you're failing, or at least I feel like I'm failing on a daily basis, and not from a negative point of view, but from a learning point of view. You know, I was thinking of, you know, one of the mistakes I used to think is, well, we need to have cross-functional collaboration, bringing everyone to the table at the same time. No, not necessarily. Timing is important, and when information is presented, not only how it is important, and people need to, the information needs to be delivered in different languages according to who the audience is. So bringing your hand to the table might make it more difficult because people have different perspectives and they understand it differently. And you almost need to take that same roadmap and describe it or present different levels of information to the different audiences that you need buy-in from.
Or at least use the meeting before the meeting, which the first time I ever heard that term, I was like, what a waste of time. But when I actually tried it and used it, I was like, this works! Wow!
Yeah, that's what I say. Go to lunch, you know. Ask people to lunch. And because a lot of times casual, that's what golfing is also. A lot gets done in what appears to be a casual conversation. You're really developing trust and rapport.
Absolutely.
So these are all
the reputation that you build through the trust and rapport is really how you get things done as a product manager. So it's essential that you put yourself out there in that way.
Yes.
So, yes. Cindy, you touched on failing often, and I think that's one of the worst things about product management, and that's actually the next question that I had, is what is the best thing about product management and what is the worst? So the feeling of failure is one that I had as worst, and the other I had is being asked a question that you've already answered before. And I say this in a kind of tongue-in-cheek way, because really, if that's why what you're hearing, if someone's asking you a question and you've answered it already, that means that you're not really communicating effectively. So you need to change your methods of communication in order to get that message out. So while it feels like an annoyance that other people aren't listening to you, you got to take that and turn around and realize that people didn't receive your message correctly, and that's why they're coming back to you. Either you're not communicating frequently enough, or you're not sending the message that's distilled enough so that they could get it, but they didn't get the message. But that's one of the worst things. But on the flip side, there are some pretty good things about product management, and we've already touched on a couple of them. The one that I think stands out for me the most is the continual learning. Like Cindy said, we fail a lot, and each time we fail, we learn something new from it, and we can take that and apply it to the next challenge that we're working on. The other thing is, if you have very high career aspirations as a product manager, you get great exposure. You get face time with not only executives within your own company, but I've been to several meetings with our customers where I was sitting down with the VP and C-level leaders of those other organizations, and I was the most junior person in the room, but because I was the one with the product knowledge, I was invited to the table. So it's just a great way of learning, being in that executive environment, and seeing how they conduct themselves so that you can use that for yourself, as well as the fact that they know you and they've come to recognize you, so when they need something, you can be there to satisfy that need, and they're going to call on you, rely on you, and hopefully that's going to help promote your career as well.
Excellent.
We're at 150, Cindy.
Great. As you were talking, I remembered one thing. Well, you know, for me, I'm a kinesthetic learner, and I love software products, so I constantly have to be learning new products and getting my hands dirty up to my elbows and shoulders, because look, you know, if you're going to be managing people, for me, I have to understand what it takes for them to do what they're doing in order to understand how much time is involved, and in order to communicate effectively with them and to empathize with them, because they're focused on what they're doing. They don't care, you know, they don't have the bigger vision that's the value add that I'm supposed to be bringing. So constant learning, challenging, and that's the other thing with startups too. You can never be on top of this. If you think you're on top of it, you're doing it wrong.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, and I forgot to mention Blame Sally. Thanks to Blame Sally for the music, although the sirens going by are not Blame Sally music. It may pop on afterwards. Usually I'm sitting in a studio recording with an engineer, and today we're doing it all by phone. So yay for technology.
Yeah, I think we're working it out.
Yeah. So let's see, what have we not covered?
I had another question. Was any particular books that you would suggest for new product managers to read? Of course, I have to list Rich Mironov's The Art of Product Management. And then another one that a lot of people recommend is inspired by Marty Kagan. And then I've got one on here that I don't think was written really as a product management book, but I read it myself and saw a lot of applications of product management in it, and that is Delivering Happiness by Tony Tsai. It was just a great read and wonderful book about Zappos. And then one I'm reading right now but haven't gotten all the way through is The Product Manager Survival Guide by Stephen Haynes. That's one that I'm hoping will live up to the title. I haven't been able to find as much reading time as I'd like because of working on all these projects we've mentioned with the Google Glass and with Product Camp, but this is definitely on my reading list. I have to mention Under 10 Consulting with Steve Johnson. That's a blog you should definitely follow.
Yeah. Stephen Haynes wrote the Bible on the product manager's desk reference. So he it's a huge reference book. And also Linda Gorshels wrote about the product manager's field guide. I think she teaches product management, I think, at the University of Michigan. I really need my notes, but definitely check
out. I'm not sure which university either.
And also Greg Girasi wrote Take Charge, Product Management. And
how could I forget that one?
Right. He's now completed this year's study of high-performing product teams, which he's talking about. He'll be on the show in a couple of weeks, and he's doing webinars. Yearly, they do a study of product teams and what are the components required for them to perform at the highest levels. He wrote Take Charge Product Management. His blog is excellent. It's at Actuation Consulting, I believe. And I will tweet out these URLs when I get back in front of my computer.
And just on that topic of the product team, that's another essential thing for product managers to remember. A lot of times we kind of get a little bit of internal hubris with the comment that we're CEOs of our product and we've got all this responsibility. Product managers can't get anything done without the people behind them doing the work. So the technical folks, the customer service folks, the salespeople, they might annoy you some days, but they're the ones who are helping you, your product to sell and grow. So make sure you bring them donuts like Ken Norton likes to do, and that way your team will be a lot more appreciative of you.
Right, and so I've had a bunch of authors on who spoke about different issues of product marketing, product management. The 280 Group has a series of books in the 42 Rules of Product Management and 42 Rules of Product Marketing and a bunch of others. And essentially, those 42 Rules books are blog postings from the top 42 people in the field. So they're easy reading, although there's a lot of information pumped into those small chapters. So,
and it's also reading that every time you pick it up, you see it from a different perspective as well.
Yes, that happens to me a lot. I think, oh, this is obvious, or I could have written this, and then no, wait a minute, it's a lot deeper, or I didn't see it from this point of view. So, yeah, rereading things are valuable as well. But there are quite a lot of books, and as I mentioned earlier, there's a forthcoming Product Manager's Body of Knowledge, the Prod Bach, which was a collaboration of over 60 consultants and trainers in the field. And I'm sure that's going to be, as soon as they launch that, that's going to be hit upon.
Yes, I'm really looking forward to seeing that when it comes out. I'm hoping that, you know, that the product management as a discipline will one day make it to the place where project management is right now. You know, I believe that they're taking the product off of the PMBOK, and if you know the PMBOK, it's like writing your own ticket to your career in the project management field. So I'm really hoping that we can establish even more discipline in product management through all this great work.
Yeah.
That I believe you worked on that project, didn't you, Cindy?
Yeah, I did some editing on it, and I'm very excited about it. Not so much because it's going to standardize product management, because, you know, we all disagree on certain things, and certainly, you know, it's unique in certain industries and in certain startups. But I think there is a foundation of knowledge that if we all had that, we all were starting on the same level, it would help. And it doesn't mean that we all agree, but more that we're all arguing about the same things. So this level playing field would be very helpful for people who aren't product managers to understand what it is that we do and what the value is and how it forwards the product and in the marketplace and for the customers and everything else. So, thank you for that.
We're at 1:58.
Okay.
Sorry?
Oh, gosh, it's going to end. So thank you, Alicia. I just remembered we hadn't talked about certification. I'll just jump and say, hey, get an education in product management wherever you get it. The certifications are good. Everyone has certifications these days. There's so much more trainings and opportunities and free resources online. And the point is always be learning. And if someone can speed your learning curve, embrace it. It doesn't hurt. So thank you so much for joining me, Alicia, finally. I know we talked about it for such a long time. It was so great to meet you a couple of months ago at Product Camp Silicon Valley. And I look forward to seeing you again and collaborating with you some more. And
I'm definitely going to try and come in October.
Awesome, awesome. And let's do a webinar together. That's the next thing.
Okay,
great. Thank you again to our sponsors, the AIPMM at AIPMM.com, SponSumo, SprintMe, BrainMate, Startup Products. Thank you to Blaine Sally for the music. We will not have a broadcast next week. It is the week of July 4th. So have a great, if you're in the United States, have a great week. Happy Independence. And we will see you the second week, hopefully, in July. I may be broadcasting from Boston. So follow us at blogtalkradio.com/PRODMGMTTALK, and you will get pinged of who our next speaker coming up is. Thanks again, Alicia Dixon. What's your Twitter handle again?
It's Special L.I. at 1972. So my nickname is Lily, so it's actually Special Lee, but so people spell it right, Special L.I. 1972.
So follow Alicia Dixon at Special L.I. 1972. She is a prolific tweeter. She is a generous sharer. She's always contributing value. And so what's the next product event coming up in your area?
We just did one, but something that we started to do with Product Camp DC is monthly events as well. We've got a sub-team that is working on those, and I'm actually not sure what the next one up is, but we are planning to later this fall do a codeless hackathon, which I'm really excited about. So a hackathon where it's all about the ideas and not necessarily what you can code within a compressed period of time. So look out for that.
Excellent. This is Cindy S. Solomon signing up from the Global Product Management Talk. Go over to startupproduct.com and register for the Startup Product Summit in October 11th in San Francisco. Have a great 2 weeks, and we will see you again online at PRODMGMTTALK. Thanks, Alicia. Thanks to the Startup Product Talks people in San Francisco and Boston and Australia, and to product management people worldwide. You're awesome. Have a great time. Bye.